Hello everyone, this is Kath Mudford with this week's edition of Bygone Days. This week I have part one of a story that appeared on the Goyt Valley Appreciation Society website, written by David Sterling, who has kindly given us permission to use this story. About a mile out of Whaley Bridge, beside the back road to Disley, stands a small stone memorial, half hidden by undergrowth. The inscription reads, William Wood of Eyam, Derbyshire, here murdered July the 16th, 1823. Prepare to meet thy God. It commemorates a brutal murder that took place at that very spot nearly two centuries ago. It's quite a story. First, the facts as reported in the Manchester Mercury of the 22nd of July, 6 days after the murder. On Wednesday last, about 7 o'clock, Mr. William Wood of Eyam, Derbyshire, was discovered robbed and murdered by the roadside between Disley and Whaley Bridge on his return from Manchester Tuesday's market. This atrocious murder, there is every reason to suppose, was committed by three men dressed in sailor's clothes who were observed to follow him through Disley, up the old road, both parties having, it appears, previously met by accident at a public house in Howe Lane. Mr. Wood, having refreshed himself, being on foot, left the house and was followed in about 10 minutes by the three men, who, taking the same road, came up with him within a short distance of Whaley, where he was found, his pockets turned inside out, and his head beaten in the most dreadful manner possible. The villains, not content with using their own bludgeons, had even taken the stones from the wall and used them for their hellish purpose, as a large basketful have been picked up and removed along with the body to the Cock Inn for the decision of the coroner's jury. Mr. Wood is a married man about 30 years of age and has a family of three children, and there is too much reason to fear the murderers have had a considerable booty, as he received a large sum in Manchester. No trace has yet been made of the assassins, though they were observed to take the road leading to Buxton. The inquest was held in the Cock Inn in Whaley Bridge on Saturday the 19th of July, just 3 days after William's body was discovered. This report is taken from the 29th of July 1823's edition of the Manchester Mercury. On Saturday week, an inquest was held at the Cock Inn Whaley before John Hollins, Esquire, coroner, and a respectable jury, on the body of this unfortunate man who was found barbarously murdered at a place called Longside, on the old road from Disley to Whaley Bridge, on his return from Manchester's Tuesday market, whither he had attended as a cotton manufacturer, and had received, as near as can be ascertained, £100, no part of which was found upon him. The jury and witnesses proceeded to view the body, which presented a horrid spectacle, the face and head being savagely mutilated and covered with gore. On the head were 10 wounds, inflicted by some blunt instrument, many of a mortal kind, but the one which apparently produced death was on the back of the head, by which the skull was severely fractured, and a part of it forced into the brain. No other evidence appearing to identify the murderers, the jury returned a verdict of wilful murder against some person or persons unknown. Why, we are informed that several benevolent and well-disposed individuals, in consideration of the deep distress and poverty which the widow and orphan children have been thrown into by the loss of a good husband and kind father, who would industriously and anxiously endeavour to maintain his family comfortably and respectably, are soliciting subscriptions from the charitable and kind-hearted. The action then moves to Macclesfield. The Macclesfield Courier reports, on Thursday morning, three young men, two rather shabbily dressed, and the third in a new fustian jacket, came into this town and went to the Golden Lion public house. The youngest proceeded to Chestergate and purchased three complete suits of clothes and shoes. They had some beefsteaks and left the house, one of them leaving his old clothes behind him. The youngest of the three then went into Chestergate and offered the remainder of the old things to two lads carrying coals for Mr. Wainwright, who accepted them. They then proceeded by the telegraph coach to Manchester. Shortly afterwards, intelligence of the murder having reached Macclesfield, a suspicion arose that these three fellows were concerned in the deed, and upon examining their old clothes they were found much stained with blood. Mr. Frost, the constable, immediately proceeded to Manchester by the mail. We have seen the clothes of these men. They are much smeared with dirt, to conceal the blood on them, which in many places is very visible in the inside, and we have not the smallest doubt that the owners of them are the perpetrators of the bloody deed. A later report stated that when the three turned up in the Greyhound pub in Manchester later that day, the waiter recognised them as having been there the day before the murder, and was immediately suspicious, as they were now wearing expensive new clothes. He sent his son to the police station, who returned with two constables, but by the time they arrived, two of them, Dale and Platt, had left, abandoning 17-year-old Charles Taylor, who was arrested and taken to New Bailey Prison. On the following morning, Dale and Platt were seen drinking in another Manchester pub, the Coach and Horses, and again a suspicious landlord alerted the police. They again managed to escape before the police arrived, and were last seen fleeing across fields in the direction of Oldham. We cannot help thinking that if Mr. Frost, the constable from Macclesfield, had immediately on his arrival here communicated with Mr. Lavender at our post office, where he might have expected much important assistance, the results would have been far more satisfactory, instead of which he arrived by the mail, and without giving any information whatever, stopped about an hour in town, and then returned home. Well, the concluding episode to this story will be next week's Bygone Days. Until then, this is Kath Mudford saying bye!